Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The most significant difference between races that you and I would agree, I'm sure, would be language, hair and facial features, and of course, skin color. Right? These are the three significant differences that you and I would think of whenever we talk about different races, language, hair and facial features, and skin color. For this to take place, three things will have to occur. Difference in language, dispersion, and the environment. These are the three things that will bring about the different races. Different language, because people of the same language will congregate together, will live together. Dispersion. They will have to disperse into different environment, and the environment will in turn control the skin color. Now the skin primarily is due to the difference in pigmentation, and that is called melanin, M-E-L-A-N-I-N, or melanin, in the skin. The darker the skin, the more pigment you have, the melanin that is on the skin will protect you. Protect us from what? UV radiation. Melanin protects the body by absorbing UV radiation from the sunlight, whereby it will then disperse it whenever it falls onto the skin. This will protect you from skin cancer. And so the darker the skin, the more protection you would have from UV radiation. It will absorb and then it will disperse it, and that will keep you safe. The lighter the skin, the less melanin you have, the more you're going to open yourself to skin cancer. Those who have lighter skin versus those who have darker skin. And so with UV radiation, the skin will be damaged. Now bear this in mind. That means dark skin is not very good for cold region. If everybody live in the same environment, speaking the same language, we will not have such diversity of languages and skin color. But the moment we disperse and then we move to colder country versus countries that are warmer or hotter, cold country versus hot country, bear this in mind, it will impact and change. So let's say you have a mixture of dark skin and lighter skin people moving up north to cold country. Who will survive? Same group of people, dark skin and lighter skin, they move to a hotter, more sunlight country. Which skin color will survive with the passage of time? Those who are dark skin, they are worse off in cold countries. The reason is this. He needs more sunlight. For the dark skin people, they need more sunlight. For those who are dark skin in cold country, there is less sunlight. And since he needs more sunlight, and because he is more resistant to sunlight, he will have not enough of vitamin D, because the skin produces vitamin D from sunlight. And because of that, vitamin D deficiency will impact and affect his health. Now, vitamin D, the lack of it will affect growth. There will be growth retardation. There will be skeletal deformities, as well as increased risk of hip fracture later on in life as he grows older. And so darker-skinned people, when they live in cold country with less sunlight, they will have vitamin D deficiency. That means they will not be as healthy as those who are of lighter skin, who does not need that much light. And then on top of that, you will have the diet that will be affected because of your health problem. And that means because you're less healthy, you will have fewer children. And gradually, the number of dark-skinned people in cold region would inevitably dwindle, diminish. And with the passage of time, you're going to find that in that part of the world, even though they may begin with dark skin and light skin people, there will only be the lighter skin people who will survive. Likewise, in hot country where there is a lot of sunlight, the lighter skin people will slowly dwindle for the same reason. They will suffer skin cancer. Too much sunlight, their body is not able to get rid of them because they don't have enough melanin, just like the dark-skinned people who has a lot of it. And they are able to dissipate it, and they will enjoy a lot of sunlight. They enjoy sunlight. And that's why in those regions, the lighter-skinned people will slowly dwindle, and what you have will be a mass of dark-skinned people. Now, that's how you have all the different races. And then with the passage of time, they will also intermarry, because it's not just so simple as they just simply die off and that's it. They will intermarry, and then we will have all the different double eyelid, different stature, different color of hair, different size, and all these will slowly come about because of the intermarriage. But with the passage of time, the intermarriage, and then the light-skinned people will disappear, the dark-skinned people will dwindle in hot and cold country and so on. Environment, intermarriage, the sunlight, the skin color, all these is where we get our races. But the question is this. When Noah came out of the ark, it was one happy family. If they had not dispersed, these races that we call races today would not have happened, because they all would be one happy family staying in the same environment, speaking the same language. There's no reason for them to disperse into very hot and very cold, because after the flood, the whole earth tilted and changed. There will now be four seasons. Certain parts of the earth will be very cold. Certain parts will be very warm. It was not like that before the flood. And because of all this change in environment after the flood, and then the dispersion. Now the question is, why would the family of Noah disperse? Weren't they happy? What was the problem? And that's where we come to Genesis chapter 11. We have to look at this from the spiritual perspective rather than just the perspective from science. How we get the different color of our skin. Please observe. This dispersion was not based upon something that was good and godly. The problem was one of rebellion. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. There's nothing wrong with one language and one speech, because that is good. One language and one speech. Because in heaven, most likely all of us will speak a language that all of us need to understand. You don't need translator in heaven. So there's nothing wrong with one language and one speech. But the problem was, with one language and one speech, you will have unity. Unity in terms of communication, and that can be very deadly and dangerous when it involves the sinful heart. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt in the land of Shinar is most likely where Babylon is. Because when you look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 2, we are told that Daniel and his friends were brought to the land of Shinar, and that's Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees, present-day Iraq. And then they said one to another, who was the leader? The leader was a man called Nimrod. The meaning of Nimrod is the word rebellion. And so you realize that the dispersion, which will be the spark that will lead to different language and then environment. The dispersion, that will be the key that will bring forth the different races. Now you watch. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Nothing wrong with making bricks. Okay, so far so good. But they said go to. So there was a leader who will challenge the people who are all of one voice. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. Now what was the agenda? Go to again, alright? Go to twice. Please note the verb. Let us build us a city and a tower. Nothing wrong with a city Nothing wrong with building a tower. All right, if there's something wrong with building a city, something wrong with building a tower, then we are in trouble because we have a lot of point blocks. I live in a tower, 16th floor. Dr. Jeffrey Koo live in a higher tower, 40th floor. Right, so nothing wrong with a tower, nothing wrong with a city because Singapore is a city. Also fine. Building bricks with mortar, there's nothing wrong. Building city, nothing wrong. Building tower, nothing wrong. So what was the problem? This was the problem. Whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That was the problem. They wanted to bring heaven down onto the earth. That's what this phrase means. They want to build a tower and say, this is heaven. This is where God dwells. This is home. This was the first ecumenical movement. Because at the end of this, you're going to find that this place is known as Babel. And that's how the second and successful ecumenical movement in Revelation, the capital city of the Antichrist, is called Babylon. Not after the Babylon of Iraq or Nebuchadnezzar. It is after the Babylon of Genesis 11. The first ecumenical movement, God had to stop it. It must not succeed. Because God's plan of salvation was not done yet. But when it was time, God will allow a successful second ecumenical council engineered, designed, and propagated and protected by none other than Satan. And he will use his two sidekicks, the false prophet and the Antichrist, to accomplish that. And he will. God said that he will succeed. And we are seeing this fulfilled before our very eyes. But when you have one language, that will be a very easy way to bring about an ecumenical council. And that's exactly what Nimrod did. Now, how do we know Nimrod was the leader? The Bible tells us so. Genesis chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, he was not a mighty hunter of animals. This whole chapter, chapter 10, is about people. So he was a mighty hunter of people. So anyone who disagrees with him, he will kill, he will hammer, he will bully. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. You see that? So he was the main culprit. His name means rebellion. And so the problem was not the city. The problem was not using brick and mortar. The problem was usurpation of the will of God. He wanted to rebel against God. God asked them to replenish the earth. Fill it. Live as one big happy family all over the world. But he says, no, let us bring heaven down onto the earth. Because that's exactly the agenda of the second ecumenical movement that will succeed. Bring heaven down onto this earth. Because Satan was cast out of heaven, he could not be a god in heaven. And so now he's going to make a counter, a reflection of God on earth. And that's what he will do. And he will succeed for 7 years. God will give him that 7 years. And after that, he will be completely, totally destroyed. And this earth will be destroyed with it. It began with rebellion. How did our race arise? It began with rebellion. This was the starting point. If they had not rebelled, with one language, you know how great and how wonderful the cause of Jesus Christ would be. You know how easy it would be. Today we have all the numerous translations. If there was only one language, it was so easy for the gospel to be preached, isn't it? Everybody can understand. Not an issue. But now with all the different languages, you need interpreter. Blame Nimrod, you have to study Chinese. You see, if there was no dispersion, everybody would be studying Hebrew. We only have Hebrew, but there's Hebrew, you know they spoke Hebrew, huh? You know they spoke Hebrew, right? God spoke to Adam in Hebrew. Hebrew was the first language. And then later on, it was changed. Hebrew was the first language. That's why Hebrew will be the heavenly language. In heaven, they speak Hebrew. You know that. How do you know that? Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, when God spoke to Satan, right? Where have you been? Oh, I've been going around and so on. Have you seen my servant Job? Oh, he's a very good man. What did God say to him? In Hebrew, right? When the angels came down from heaven and spoke to Abraham. Remember the three of them? The Lord and the two angels? What was the language that was used as recorded for us in Genesis? Hebrew. So in heaven has to be Hebrew. So better learn Hebrew now. So in those times, it was so wonderful. One language, so easy to spread the gospel, but it was also so easy to spread evil. And that was the problem. Just as it was easy to spread the word, it is also easy to spread evil. And now with many different languages, it is harder to spread the gospel because now you need interpreter, translator, and so on. It is also very difficult to spread evil. True? Because what is evil in the English language, if I don't speak English, it will not impact me. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't read all your bad books. I speak my own language, a different language. So I'm protected in that sense. Unless it is translated, then only I get poisoned. If the book that is bad, attacking the Bible, is not translated, I am shielded from it. But because of Nimrod, the main culprit, he was the leader and he was the hunter of men. And because of that, he made himself number one. And he organized this rebellion. And therefore God said, this cannot be. This must not be. And so it began with rebellion, and then it now followed with God's intervention. God had to intervene. God had to stop this in order to save us. Because it was meant to be good. It was meant to be one family. Now, by the way, God is going to bring about a dispersion. That's the only way to save. Do not compare this incident with Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is the Pentecost where the apostles experienced tongue speaking. They did not go to school and they were able to speak in tongues supernaturally, and that gift remained with them for ministry purposes. They didn't have time to go to school and to learn it. God gave them the gift of tongues so that wherever they went, they were able to speak many languages. Now there is a big distinction. The reason why we are told not to compare what happened here with Acts chapter 2 is this. Now you watch. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men, not the children of God, the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do when the imagination stems from a sinful, wicked, depraved nature. The kind of evil that they could create is innumerable, unstoppable. With one language, all together, there is no limit to the enormous evil that they could do. You and I can read and imagine the kind of evil when you read the book of Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, you and I can read about the evil of the second final successful ecumenical movement. Anyone who does not have the mark of the beast, kill. Anyone who does not bow down to the beast, kill. Isn't that true? You can't buy, you can't sell, you'll starve to death because you don't bow down to this image, this beast. Same in those days. Nimrod was the Antichrist. Nimrod was the main culprit. And so God said they have to be restrained. This has to stop. Now how did God stop them? Now you watch. Go to. This is God's direct challenge to Nimrod. The use of the same verb indicate this. Nimrod said, go to, let us make brick. Go to, let us build. God said, go to, let us go down. God himself, together with God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us go down now. This is a direct confrontation between Nimrod and his followers and Satan energizing him with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, now challenging. Direct confrontation against this evil. And there confounded their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Now what happened was this. One moment they were able to speak the language and understand one another. And then next moment, some of them lost the ability to speak that language. And then they were given new language. So it was a removal of the original language with a replacement of a new language. Acts chapter 2, the apostles did not lose their ability to speak Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, and whatever languages that they already knew. And on top of that, God added to the original languages that they were able to speak, new languages. Whereas in the case of Genesis 11, it was a subtraction and a replacement. So please do not compare the two. They are very, very different. And because now suddenly when they gather together, they suddenly found themselves, I don't understand what you're talking about. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And suddenly because of this, everything that Nimrod planned fell apart. It doesn't work when you can't communicate. Now, in order for you to have an interpreter, the interpreter must be able to speak two languages. And because there was no interpreter, because suddenly you find yourself not able to speak, you are now given a new language, you suddenly became strangers. Overnight, in order for the interpreter to interpret what I'm speaking in English into Mandarin, for example, that person must speak Mandarin and English. Otherwise, it will not work. If he speaks only Mandarin, he doesn't speak English, and then I speak English, and then he comes up here and interprets for me, he will probably be speaking another message. He doesn't know what I'm talking about, but he's forced to open his mouth and say something. What do you want him to say? He's going to speak his own language. It's just that you asked me to be interpreter in the Mandarin congregation. Somebody speak in Mandarin, you ask me to interpret, I will gasak. Isn't it? I was told by Reverend Stephen Koo when he was in America, during one of their celebration, they have this big banner and they say, welcome to don't know what class and what class. And so since he was the only Chinese, they want him to write these same words in Chinese. Now, Reverend Stephen Koo's Chinese is slightly worse than mine. And my Chinese is slightly better than my Swahili. And so he shared with me, they don't know Chinese, I don't know Chinese, and there's no internet, so you can't check. And the only Chinese Reverend Koo knew was his own Chinese name. So he told me, I was very tempted to write my Chinese name and ask them to put my Chinese name there and it would be similar to welcome. But he did not do it. This is the problem. When you don't know China, don't know the language, you can do whatever you want, write whatever you want, and they will not know better, isn't it? Just like you do not know Hebrew. I can say what I want, and I say Hebrew, say the Hebrew, say, you are at my mercy. And then now suddenly, they just simply look at one another. You look at me, I look at you, and they open their mouth. I don't know what you are talking about now. They lost the ability to speak the first language. Now, how many languages did God give as new languages at this juncture? Only two. How do we know there were only two? Because of Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 10, we were told that the groups were dispersed according to languages. Now the reason why I said two new languages is this. I believe that the descendants of Shem retained the original language, which was Hebrew. And that's why we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all in Hebrew. Whereas the descendants of the other two sons of Noah, Ham and Japheth, they were able to speak Hebrew before the confusion or the tongues were taken away from them. And then they were now given two new languages, as you can see. All right? Look at chapter 10. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Verse 2. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, or Madai, Yavan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. Now you look at the last verse concerning this section. Verse 5. By these were the house of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. So they were split. They left one another according to their languages. And then the Bible continues, verse 6, the sons of Ham, Right? This one is sons of Japheth. The sons of Ham, the conclusion, verse 20. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. So after they disperse, whatever languages that God gave to them, it evolved, changed some more, until they all have a different languages. And then you look at chapter 10, verse 21, you have now the section concerning Shem. And then look at verse 31, the conclusion of the description of Shem. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So chapter 10 gives us an overview where many years have transpired, describing how they were dispersed. Chapter 9 described the problem, and then chapter 10 described the dispersion. The first 9 verses of chapter 11 describe the reason why the dispersion came about. It was because of rebellion, because of sin. Nimrod, his name means rebellion. He was the culprit. And then God had to stop them in order for the plan of salvation for us will not be jeopardized. And so God had to intervene. And how did God intervene to stop this first ecumenical movement? Confusion of tongue. Now please note, there may be some commentaries that you have read whereby linguists who are experts in languages, they will abuse the word of God because of their science. Today, when linguists study new languages, this is the consistent pattern. People will migrate from one country to another country, and with the passage of time, after they have migrated, after they have dispersed, and then they live in this city or country or town, whatever it is, and then they will intermingle with indigenous people, and then from there the new language will form, and that's how we get our Singlish. But in the case of Genesis 11, it was not dispersion first, and then with the passage of time, new languages were formed. That was not what happened. You look at the text very carefully. The text tells us from the chronological perspective which came first. It was because of the difficulty in languages. God confounded their languages. God removed the ability to speak the Hebrew language, and then God gave them new languages. And because of this, then it caused the dispersion. It is not according to the pattern of what the linguists see today. This was a miracle. It was a miracle of judgment that resulted in the dispersion. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and then they left off building the city that was offensive to God. They want to bring heaven down onto this earth. And who will now be the ruler if you were to bring heaven down onto this earth? The prince of this world, Satan. That's why God says, no, this must stop. And because of the confusion of languages, the city was now known as Babel, which means confusion. The same word, verse 7, you see the word confound? Same root word where you get the word Babel. And because the Lord did there confound, same word, the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That's how the Lord scattered them. It began with rebellion, and it continued with God's intervention, and it resulted in dispersion. It was a sad, sad day. How many years after the flood before they dispersed? Do you know? Was Noah alive when the dispersion occurred? Imagine if you were Noah and you were alive when the dispersion occurred. How would you feel as a father to see your sons and your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren and so on all dispersed because of rebellion? All you need to do is to do some mathematical calculation. And then you will realize that when the dispersion took place, it was at least 101 years after the flood ended. At least. Why do I say at least? The reason I say at least is because of verse 25 of Genesis chapter 10. Now note chapter 10, verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. Now in his days, that means from the time he was born to the time he died. And if you were to do some mathematical calculation, you realize that Peleg was born 101 years after the flood ended, when Noah opened the door of the ark. And if you do that, and Peleg's name is mentioned in verse 18 of chapter 11, you'll find that Shem was 199 years old, and Noah was 702 years old. Now, Noah lived after the flood another 350 years. He was 601 when the flood came, 602 when the flood ended. Sorry, he was 600 years old when the flood came, 601 when the flood ended. And so he lived another 350 years. He died at the age of 950. Okay, so please understand that Noah was only 702 years old when he witnessed the dispersion. The message for us is simply this. When you and I look at the races, we all originated from the line of Adam, and then subsequently after the flood, all of us originated from Noah and his family. And despite our differences in languages and color, we are still one people. And the reason why we have so many races, not because it was a good thing. It must remind us of the rebellion that occurred in Babylon. That's what it must remind us of. It must remind us of God's mercy by intervening in order to save the plan of salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ could ultimately come and die on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins. And that's what happened. And that is the result of the many different skin color, different height, different environment, different culture. It all started with a rebellion, and God had to intervene, which finally resulted in the dispersion. And with the passage of time, the skin color, the change in weather after the flood, the environment, the food, that's where we have all the different colors of skin, the different height, the different eyes. It's because of rebellion, God had to disperse. But now, with the gospel message, God wants us to send out this gospel message to all. That is why this line that God has recorded for us from chapter 11, verse 10 onwards. Even though Shem had many other children, even though Shem's son Arphaxad had many other sons, Salah, Eber, Peleg, Reul, Serug, Nahor, Terah, this was the messianic line. That even in the midst of rebellion, in the midst of dispersion, in the midst of what was happening, God's plan of salvation continued to work. As you can see from Genesis chapter 10, they had many sons. But in Genesis 11, God only decided to record one particular line to let us know that God's plan of salvation continues. One individual after another, culminating in Terah, who in turn culminated in Abraham, which in turn culminated in Isaac, and then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and that's where the nation was formed, and through the 12 sons, it continues through Judah, and then King David, and then finally climax in the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of all these spiritual darkness and the attacks of the evil one, and Satan will never stop. He will try his utmost to stop and hinder God's plan of salvation for mankind. And after the first coming of Christ, after the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, he continues. And this time it is not to stop the first coming of Christ, which he failed to do. This time he will stop the witness of God's children so that more and more sinners will die in their sin and join him in hell. This is his agenda. And when you and I think of the different races, think of Genesis 11, how it should have been one happy family with one language, where the word of God was supposed to be preached through and through. But then after 100+ years, during the time of Peleg, God had no choice but to save his plan of salvation for you and for me, which he did. He had to confuse their language, which resulted in dispersion, and then with a different environment, because now after the flood, some parts will be very cold, some parts will be very warm. It was not like that before the flood, because at the end of the flood, the earth tilted, and that's why many portions of the snow, the ice age, remain snow, like in the North Pole and the South Pole. They did not melt, but the central portion where the equator is, closer to the sun, they melted, and that's where many people live. And because of the four seasons that now we live in, and that's how with the passage of time, the different races exist, with the different languages, different culture, different food, different environment. But it was not so in Noah's time when he first came out of the ark. It must have broken his heart to witness the dispersion and then to see what happened. And yet at the same time, if Shem remained where he was, where Noah was, then Noah continued to see this wonderful hope. And if you were to do some mathematical calculation, you will be able to discover and see at which point of Genesis 11 did the Lord take Noah home. Do you know how old Noah was when Terah, in verse 26, was said to have given birth to Abram, Nahor, and Haran? Noah was 893 years. 893 years old. Now, he died at 950. 893. Shem was only 390 years old. Shem died at the age of 600. They live a long life. They witnessed and saw all these things that happened. Please realize that. So even in the darkest moment, there was this hope. Same for us today. This world is going to get darker and darker. Satan will win for the moment. The Antichrist will rise. The false prophet will join him to deceive the whole world. But in the midst of this spiritual darkness, the light of Christ must continue to shine. And this is where God wants you and me to do. He puts us here for a time such as this, that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ must shine brightly, because that is the only hope of the world. God had meant it that way, and God did it. Just as it was so dark in that period, the messianic line continues. And you and I have a message to a world that is dying in sin. Look at the races. Remember Babel. And keep on serving the Lord as his witnesses. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we are surrounded by the evidence of the flood, of rebellion. For when we think of the ice age, we think of the flood and thy judgment against the sinful generation of Noah's time. When we think of the races, we remember Babel, the rebellion of men, which resulted in the confusion of tongue and dispersion. O Lord, help us as your blood-bought children, that even in the midst of this darkness, spiritual darkness, may the light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, shine brightly through the lives of all your children, that we may continue to be found faithful in the discharge of our responsibility for what the world needs now is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, therefore, to do your will in our lives, that at the end of our life's journey on this earth, all of us may be found faithful as witnesses of the great work of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has done in us, and He can still do in many sinners' heart. And we pray, Father, that some who are still outside Christ tonight may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For these races that we see today in our world, in our time, came about because of rebellion. And yet, in the midst of it, there is this wonderful, glorious gospel of hope in the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be the heart's cry and desire of all of us tonight. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.